Bible Study Chapter 10. You must live for the glory of God. History recorded as an example and freedom that builds up. Are not all of those who believe and follow the gospel of the water and the Spirit becoming those who reach the destination? Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 5. From the perspective of the Bible, it appears through the Word that even among the people who believe and follow the Word of the Gospel of the water and the Spirit, not all are those who reach the same result to the end. This is not that the Gospel of the water and the Spirit itself is lacking, but it is related to whether a person lives by faith within that Gospel. Jesus explained this fact through various parables. In the parable of the sower in Matthew 13, the same seed was sown, but four different results appear. Some seed falls on the path and fails to bear fruit. Some falls on rocky ground and grows for a while before drying up. And some is blocked by thorn bushes and fails to grow. However, it was said that the seed that fell on good soil bore fruit. This parable shows the fact that even if one hears the same word of the gospel of the water and the Spirit, the result of faith can vary depending on the heart condition of the one who receives that word. Also, Hebrews emphasizes the importance of keeping faith to the end. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 14 says, "For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end." This word means that the life of faith does not end with its beginning, but the faith that holds on to the end is important. Jesus also said in Matthew chapter 24, verse 13, "But he who endures to the end shall be saved." Rather than meaning that God abandons a person, this is a word emphasizing that faith is the life of one who follows the Lord's word, with the faith that believes the word of the gospel of the water and the Spirit. Also, the fact appears in the Bible that even within the church community, there can be people who outwardly confess the same faith, but actually follow with different purposes. Even among the many people who followed Jesus, some decided to give up halfway. So Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 31, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed." Ultimately, the core of this question is that believing the gospel of the water and the Spirit is not a matter of simple knowledge or a beginning, but a matter of life's direction and continuous faith. A person who believes and follows God's truth comes to live continuously relying on God within that faith, and when they remain in that faith, God takes responsibility for that life to the end. Therefore, the Bible always gives the same exhortation to those standing on the path of faith. It is to consider the gospel precious, abide in the word of that truth, and hold on to faith until the end of the world. A person who lives like that is ultimately guided to a life that reaches the destination God has prepared. Paul summarizes the Exodus generation as follows. They were all under the cloud and passed through the sea, were baptized into Moses, and all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink. Looking at their outward appearance, they were a generation that experienced all the models and shadows of the gospel. The Red Sea was a prefiguration of water baptism. The water that came out of the rock was a prefiguration of Christ, and the manna was a prefiguration of the bread of life. Nevertheless, Paul declares very directly, "Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not well pleased." The reason is clear. It is because, although there was form, the word of God to live by faith was not in their hearts. The word of the gospel of the water and the Spirit is not a list of religious experiences or a series of rite of passage ceremonies. It is a relationship of salvation truly and personally connected with Christ Himself. Is it not a right thing to take failures as a mirror, receive lessons, and follow the Lord? Now these things became our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, and do not become idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality, as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain, as some of them also complained, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 6 through 11. From the perspective of the Bible, it is a very right thing to take the cases of people who failed on the path of faith as a mirror to gain lessons and follow the Lord. God recorded many histories and events in the Bible, and one of the purposes among them was precisely so that people of later generations could gain lessons. The Apostle Paul speaks this fact clearly. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, he says, "Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come." This word is a word saying that the failures and stumblings that occurred in the history of the people of Israel are not simple past events, but were recorded to become a warning and lesson to the people living today. Even though the people of Israel experienced God's grace, they left God multiple times and experienced many failures because of disobedience and desire. Mentioning these events, Paul exhorts believing people to be warned and learn so as not to repeat the same mistakes. The Bible does not only record the stories of people who lived by faith and passed away. Many weaknesses and failures, such as David's mistake, Peter's denial, and Israel's disobedience, are also recorded together. This is because the Bible is not a book intending to glorify humans, but the word that leads us to believe and follow God's word. Through the cases of failures, we can gain a few important lessons. First, we come to learn the fact that because anyone can be weak, we must always rely on God. Second, we come to realize that pride and a self-centered heart can ultimately bring about stumbling on the path of faith. Third, we come to know that the path of believing in God and living according to God's word is the safe path. Therefore, a believing person must not view the failures of others simply as objects for criticism or judgment, but must take them as a mirror to look back on oneself. The Bible also teaches exactly this attitude. Ultimately, receiving lessons through the cases of failures and following the Lord is a very important attitude on the path of faith. Such a posture is a right attitude that does not make a person proud, but makes them humble and leads them to rely on God even more. Paul lists the sins committed by Israel: craving evil, idolatry, sexual immorality, testing God, and grumbling. Following this, he declares, "These things became our examples, and were written to enlighten us who have met the end of the age." The core is this: it is not that they failed because they lacked a longing for salvation. They were destroyed because they treated salvation lightly. The gospel of the water and the Spirit is not a gospel that conceals sin, but a gospel word that ends sin and establishes a person upright before God. Pride is the vanguard of failure. Is it not a right thing to follow the Lord with a humble heart? Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 through 13. According to the teachings of the Bible, it speaks that pride is a heart that stands before failure and stumbling, and that it is right to follow the Lord with a humble heart. This is because a proud heart before God makes a person distant from God. But humility and faith that believes in God's word allow a person to step closer to God. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18 says, "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." This word shows that pride is not a simple problem of personality, but a spiritual problem that ultimately makes a person stumble. If a person becomes proud, they come to rely on themselves rather than relying on God, and as a result, they advance onto the wrong path. Conversely, the Bible teaches humility as a very important attitude of faith. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, it says, "God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble." God bestows grace and love upon a person who acknowledges their weakness and relies on God, rather than a person who tries to elevate themselves on their own. Jesus himself also showed an example of humility. Philippians chapter 2 says that although Jesus is equal with God, he lowered himself and came to us as a man, had the sins of the world transferred to him through the baptism received from John, and even took the punishment of sin for us on the cross to become our Savior. Jesus' life shows that the path of humility and obedience is the path that God is pleased with. Following the Lord with a humble heart has a few meanings. First, it is having a heart that relies on God without considering one's own wisdom or ability as absolute. Also, it is having an attitude of trying to live with God's word as the standard, rather than stubbornly insisting only on one's own thoughts. Also, a humble heart and faith appear in the attitude of treating other people. A proud heart tries to elevate oneself and lower others, but a humble heart makes one act in the direction of respecting others and building up the community. Ultimately, the path of faith that the Bible speaks of is not the path of pride, but the path of humility. Pride makes a person stumble, but humility makes a person step closer to God. Therefore, a life of following the Lord with a humble heart can be said to be the correct posture of faith that God is pleased with. Paul offers a warning and comfort at the same time. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. This is not a threat that one will lose salvation, but a warning against a faith based on the confidence of one's own belief. And he immediately adds a promise. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape. Those who stand on the gospel of the water and the Spirit are not those exempted from the tests of faith, but those who have the faith that even in the middle of a test, there is already a prepared way. All things belong to the Lord. Therefore, is it not right to use and eat them for the benefit of the Lord? Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men, judge for yourselves what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, though many, are one bread and one body, for we all partake of that one bread. Observe Israel after the flesh. Are not those who eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What am I saying then? That an idol is anything, or what is offered to idols is anything? Rather, that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God, and I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and of the table of demons. Or do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 14 through 22. According to the teachings of the Bible, all things belong to the Lord, and therefore it can be said that using them for the benefit and glory of the Lord is the right attitude. This is because God is the one who created all things, and everything ultimately belongs to God. Psalm chapter 24, verse 1 says this: "The earth is the Lord's, and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein." This word clearly shows the fact that everything in the world is not the absolute possession of humans, but belongs to God. Also, the Apostle Paul speaks the same principle while explaining the issue of food in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 26, he says, "The earth is the Lord's, and all its fullness." This word means that the things God created are not inherently dirty or evil in themselves. The things God has given can be eaten with thanksgiving and faith. However, Paul presents an important standard at the same time. He says that a person should not simply think only of the standard, "Can I use it?" but must think of God's glory and the benefit of others together. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, he exhorts, "Therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." This word means that everything we use must ultimately be used in the direction for the glory of God. It is the correct attitude to use what God has given not only for one's own desires, but in a direction that pleases God while being thankful to God. Also, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 24, "Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being." This means that even when using what God has given, one must consider the benefit of the community and the faith of brothers together. Ultimately, the principle the Bible speaks of is clear. All things belong to God, and the things God has given can be used with thanksgiving. However, the standard for using them must not be simple personal satisfaction, but a heart that thinks of God's glory, the benefit of the gospel, and the benefit of others. This attitude of faith is the right posture of life that God is pleased with. Paul throws the most severe warning: flee from idolatry. This problem is not a simple moral issue, but an issue of union. The cup of blessing is the participation in the blood of Christ, and the bread is the participation in the body of Christ. This exactly matches the structure of the word of the gospel of the water and the Spirit with Jesus' baptism and the cross. Through the baptism Jesus received from John, the sins of the world were transferred to Jesus' body, and through the blood of the cross, the judgment of sin was completed, and through the Holy Spirit, the believer became one with the body of Jesus Christ. Therefore, one who is united with Christ cannot be united with idols at the same time. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and of the table of demons. Would it not be right to act while seeking the benefit of all people? All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. eat whatever is sold in the meat market, asking no questions for conscience' sake. For the earth is the Lord's, and all its fullness. If any of those who do not believe invites you to dinner, and you desire to go, eat whatever is set before you, asking no question for conscience' sake. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 23 through 27. According to the teachings of the Bible, the faith of acting while seeking the benefit of all people can be said to be the right attitude. This is because the life of faith is deeply connected not to a self-centered life, but to a life of faith that considers the benefit of others. The Apostle Paul says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 33. Just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. This word shows that the standard of Paul's life was not his own profit, but had the purpose of bringing about the benefit and salvation of people. Also in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 24, Paul says, "Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being." This shows the principle that a person of faith should act in a direction that is helpful to others, rather than merely asserting their own rights and freedom. Seeking the benefit of all people does not simply mean acting to cater to people's feelings. The benefit that the Bible speaks of does not mean simple human satisfaction, but spiritual benefit and the good direction of life. Therefore, a person of faith tries to act in a direction that is helpful to people and builds up their faith and life. Such an attitude also appears in the righteous life of Jesus. Jesus did not seek his own comfort or rights first, but lived a life of ministry for the salvation of sinners. Therefore, Jesus said, "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." Also, a life that seeks the benefit of all people becomes a life that builds up the community. If each pursues only their own profit, the community will experience conflict and division, but if they consider each other's benefit, the community is built up more healthily. Ultimately, the life of faith that the Bible speaks of is clear. A believer must not be one who lives centered only on their own profit, but must live a life acting while considering the salvation of others and the benefit of the community. This life is a life of faith that pleases God, and it can be said to be the appearance of revealing the gospel word of the water and the Spirit in actual life. Once again, the argument, "All things are lawful for me," appears. Paul's response is consistent. Just because something is permitted does not mean it is all helpful, and just because something is permitted does not mean it all builds others up. Thus, he says, "Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being." The gospel of the water and the Spirit is not a gospel given to show off faith, but a gospel given to save neighbors from sin. Is Paul a person who wants to act while also considering the conscience of others? But if anyone says to you, "This was offered to idols," do not eat it for the sake of the one who told you, and for conscience' sake. For the earth is the Lord's, and all its fullness. Conscience, I say, not your own, but that of the other. For why is my liberty judged by another man's conscience? But if I partake with thanks, why am I evil spoken of for the food over which I give thanks? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 28 through 30. Looking at the Bible, it can be said that the Apostle Paul was a person who wanted to act while considering not only his own conscience, but also the conscience of others. This is because the standard of his life was not simple personal freedom, but the benefit of spreading the gospel and the faith that builds up the faith of others. Paul directly explains this issue in 1 Corinthians 10. He knew the fact that no food is inherently unclean or forbidden, However, he did not act solely on the knowledge of knowing that fact. He says that one must consider the conscience of others. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 28 through 29, Paul says this, "But if anyone says to you, 'This was offered to idols,' do not eat it for the sake of the one who told you, and for conscience' sake, for the earth is the Lord's, and all its fullness. Conscience, I say, not your own, but that of the other." This word shows a very important principle. Paul taught that while there may be no problem with his own conscience, if another person's conscience could be hurt or experience confusion, it is right to restrain that action. For Paul, the important standard was not simply, "Am I free?" but what impact does this action have on others? Therefore, he said that even though he has his rights and freedom, he can restrict them. In 1 Corinthians 9 as well, Paul speaks of the same principle of faith. He says that he has become all things to all men, that he might by all means save some. This shows his attitude of trying to act while considering the situations and consciences of the people at that time. Ultimately, the characteristic of Paul's life was an attitude that prioritized faith over freedom. He had knowledge and faith, but he tried to use it in a direction that builds up the faith of others. Therefore, looking at the Bible, it can be said that Paul was an apostle who wanted to act while considering the conscience and faith of others together, rather than a person who simply acted based only on his own conscience. This attitude of faith is an important principle of faith that builds up the community and achieves the benefit of the gospel of the water and the Spirit. Paul provides practical and specific guidelines. Meat sold in the market is not a problem. However, if someone says, "This is a sacrifice," you must not eat it. The governing standard here is not the food itself, but a matter of conscience. It is not one's own conscience, but the conscience of others. This is because a person who has already obtained freedom through the gospel of the water and the Spirit does not need to prove that freedom. Is not the purpose of Christians' lives all to live for the glory of God? Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense, either to the Jews or to the Greeks or to the Church of God, just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 31 through 33. According to the teachings of the Bible, it can be said that the ultimate purpose of Christians' lives is the faith of living for the glory of God. This is because the life of a believer is not simply for their own success or satisfaction, but they are called to a life that reveals the righteousness of God and gives glory to God. The Apostle Paul says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. "Therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." This word shows that the life of faith is not limited only to special religious activities, but that all areas of everyday life must be connected to God. Also in Ephesians 1, it says that one of the purposes for which God saved people is to manifest the glory of God. When the gospel word of salvation accomplished by God is revealed through people's lives, glory returns to God. Living for the glory of God includes several meanings. First, the center of life becomes God, not oneself. Second, it is living while thinking about whether one's choices and actions are in a direction that pleases God. Third, it is living so that God's salvation and grace are revealed through the life of faith. Such a life is not a life of forcibly suppressing oneself, but a direction of life that naturally appears to a person who has realized God's grace. A person who deeply realizes the grace of salvation bestowed by God comes to want to live their life in a direction that gives glory to God. Also, the life of faith for the glory of God does not appear as an abstract life that simply thinks only of God, but as a life that loves people and builds up the community. When one thinks of the benefit of others and lives according to the values of the gospel, the glory of God is revealed in life. Ultimately, the core of faith that the Bible speaks of is clear. A Christian's life is not a life for oneself, but a life lived for the glory of God. A believer is called to live as a being who remembers God in all areas of life and reveals who God is through that life. Paul summarizes this entire chapter with one sentence. Therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. He makes this concrete. Give no offense, either to the Jews or to the Greeks or to the Church of God. This is the way Paul himself lived. Just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. 1 Corinthians 10 asks each of us today, are you living to prove your freedom, or are you living for the salvation of others as one who has already obtained salvation from sin by believing in the gospel word of the water and the Spirit?